This is Todd Zwillick with The Takeaway. I'm standing in front of the U.S. Senate just days after the Deepwater Horizon spill has started dumping millions of gallons of oil into the Gulf of Mexico. I'm standing here with Michael Bruhn. He's executive director of the Sierra Club, one of the most important environmental lobbies in the country. And the question is, how will the Deepwater Horizon spill affect the prospects of broader energy and climate legislation in the U.S. Senate? Several senators have just said that any increase in offshore drilling makes that bill dead on arrival. They'll filibuster it. And these were Democrats. So we want to talk to environmental groups like the Sierra Club to find out what the prospects are for comprehensive energy and climate legislation in the wake of the spill. Mr. Bruhn, there's a debate going on right now as everyone wonders what the impact of the Deepwater Horizon spill will be as to whether this is the final nail in the coffin of climate change legislation or whether it will actually spur the legislation to be passed. Realistically, having hung around Congress for a while, as I know you have, what do you think the effect is here?
Well, we absolutely think it'll be a spur. You know, we couldn't have a more clear indication of the costs of our carbon pollution. You know, to be fair, the challenge of forging a compromise with at least 60 senators is a tough one. But clearly what we're seeing is that the American public is much more motivated now to accelerate a transition to a clean energy future. So we think the prospects have been strengthened.
When President Obama announced that he was in favor of new offshore drilling, I know that that was a big disappointment to people in the environmental community like you, but he did it to try to get a consensus, both from Republicans and from oil state Democrats, on a very, very fractious issue. These senators today say that any new drilling is the death knell of that bill. What's the way forward?
Well, what we think is that the tragedy that's unfolding in the Gulf will be prompting more and more senators to reconsider their support for expanded offshore oil drilling. We know that we can easily save more oil than can be found off of our coasts by investing in efficiency, whether it's for home heating technology, for plug-in hybrid electric vehicles, or fully electric vehicles. So we're hopeful that this will prompt a number of senators in the Gulf region and throughout the country to reconsider their support for offshore oil drilling, and thereby should increase the support for the climate bill overall, for a climate bill overall.
Getting to 60, you think?
I mean, it's a heavy lift. You know,
explain the lift for people who don't really understand how the dynamics of getting to 60 votes here. Explain when you say heavy lift. That's a Beltway phrase that means a real big job. Explain the lift. What it means to try to get to 60 votes on such a divisive issue like this.
Well, I mean, let's be candid with each other. Right now, we have the Republican Party that is adamantly opposed to most of the things that the Obama administration is trying to do. And so getting the Republicans in Congress to vote for any measure that's supported by the Democrats is inherently difficult, no matter what the issue is. And on top of that, you have the requirement of getting 60 votes. And so you need to have bipartisan support for comprehensive climate legislation. And the main electoral strategy for Republicans is to not give that kind of support. So what the senators in Congress are trying to do is to offer enough enticements to encourage a few Republicans to break ranks and to stand up for a smart climate legislation that would cut carbon and increase jobs.
Some of those enticements were allowing new loan guarantees and new construction of nuclear plants. Also, the president's call for new offshore drilling. Those are some of the enticements you're talking about.
Well, yeah, in one bill, in the Kerry Graham Lieberman bill, there's a number of different initiatives that are out there. There's the Cantwell Collins bill, which would put a cost on carbon emissions and then rebate those costs back to consumers, so that we're decreasing our carbon pollution each year, but we are helping consumers and helping families to actually pay for their potentially increased energy costs. A way to attract Republicans to that type of bill is to make sure that their constituents are not facing higher energy costs, or there's a way to compensate those constituents. So depending on what bill you're talking about, there's a number of different ways in which people are trying to forge a compromise, and it's very difficult to do in any environment. It's particularly so this year.
What are you hearing? What's the latest you're hearing about the chances of a climate bill actually going forward? Nobody here seems to know exactly which bill is going to be next. It's tied up with questions about immigration, mm-hmm. whether Senator Graham will participate or not. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing about whether they're actually going to go for a climate bill this year?
Oh, we definitely think that they'll go for a climate bill this year. What is unclear is which bill it'll be, and of course, when that's going to happen. What we are hearing is that there's a renewed enthusiasm among a number of senators, a key group of senators, to pass some type of climate legislation, or to bring it to the fore within the next couple weeks, and time will tell.
My last question: at this point, in the wake of the Deepwater Horizon disaster, would you rather see a comprehensive carbon capping climate bill with new offshore drilling, or no bill at all?
Well,
it's
really hard to say. It depends on how strong the bill is. We don't think that any strong bill that accelerates a clean energy transition has any room for offshore oil drilling. So we're pushing for a bill that will accelerate, that will deepen our investments in energy efficiency and renewable technologies like solar and wind, that will disincentivize the accelerated production of coal and of course oil, and in the same time to help consumers with some of those costs. We don't think that offshore oil drilling fits into any of those equations.
Thanks very much.
Sure.
I appreciate your time.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.